Good to be back with you after a good vacation. Most of you know I went out to California and visited family, but it's always good to be back with you. And appreciate those who filled in while I was away. Gary, of course, teaching the Wednesday night class. I believe Jeremy taught to when I was gone. I know Sunday morning, and I'm not quite sure who did the Sunday night service, but who did it? Oh, great. He does a great job always, Kevin. So I appreciate Kevin doing that. And again, always appreciate that we have good brethren to fill in when people are on vacation and that sort of thing. Not only for me, but various classes as well. And so we're very blessed in that regard. But always good to be home. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. We'll get into our lesson. Righteous Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity that we have today to worship you and to serve you. We pray that all that we do will be acceptable. We are so fortunate to be able to live in such a place that we can serve you without any kind of outside interference. But as always, we pray that if that were to change, that we'll have the courage and the boldness to continue to serve you no matter what. We're certainly thankful for the Word of God that we have, and that we know the sacrifices that went into allowing us to have this Word in our own language, and that we can study it and meditate upon it whenever we want. We pray that we might take advantage of that, and that we, on an individual basis, will, in the privacy of our home, study your Word, fill our hearts with it, and live by it. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We know that you are so great that we can't comprehend just how great you are, but we know that we must give you the respect and the reverence that you deserve, and we pray that we'll do that not only by the fruit of our lips, but by the way that we live our lives. We pray this morning that you'll be with all of the Bible class teachers, be with each student in every class. We pray that as a result of our endeavor this morning, that we'll all grow in the faith and that we'll be able to live our lives in such a way that's according to your will. We're thankful for the elders that are overseeing this flock and for arranging all of the Bible classes that we have. And we pray that you'll be with them as they make decisions that affect this congregation. Bless them. We pray for their health, that they'll be able to maintain that health so that they can continue to do the work that they do. Again, we praise you and pray that you'll be with us this entire Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we are dealing with prayer. Most of you know, if you are visiting with us, we are dealing at this time with types of prayer. We have looked at several things in regard to prayer. Our main goal is to help us to pray more often, to help us to pray with more passion and feeling when we pray, to pray certainly with always with the faith that God is able and willing to respond to our prayers. And if we can accomplish that in this series of lessons, then we'll be better off. And I know that with regard to individual Christians, everybody is on a different level when it comes down to their own personal prayer life. Some have a better prayer life than others. Some spend more time in prayer than others. But probably most of us can improve in this particular area. And prayer is very, very important to our spirituality, to our relationship with God and our spiritual growth. And so it is something that we need to talk about and teach on and, of course, make application of. And so we're looking at prayer, and we've looked again at several things, and we've come down to the types of prayer. Just very quickly, for those who maybe haven't been here, we looked at this acronym ACTS to help us with regard to the various kinds of prayer, and also, just as in passing, can help us, those of us who are men and pray publicly, you can always think of this ACTS and think of one of these things, and if you happen to maybe go blank when you're up praying before people, like I do often when I'm preaching, then you can think of confession, and or you can think of supplication, or one of these things, and can help you get back on track. And in the privacy of your own home, I think last time we met, I suggested that everyone go home and try to pray a prayer with all of these different kinds of prayer, and just see how long you can spend in prayer. If you just took your time on each one of these things, you could easily spend an hour or 2 hours in prayer when you stop and think about it. Now, We have looked then as we tackling these things one at a time, adoration, prayer, passages like Jeremiah 32. Oh, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. That's adoration. Giving God the respect he deserves, praising him for who he is and what he does. Oh, Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. And so those are examples of prayers of adoration. And you need to do that. You should do that all the time. It should come very naturally for us to praise God because we do indeed know how great he is. Then we looked at confession. And one of the things we said in passing that we need to be humble, of course. These passages talk about pride, how God hates, of course, pride and arrogance. Another Proverbs 29, one's pride will bring him low. Pride stops us from recognizing where we are spiritually, that we all sin from time to time. That's 1 John chapter 1. John tells us if we say that we have no sin, we lie. The truth is not in us. And so we need to understand that we all fall short, and we can all spend time, of course, in confessing our sins to God. He's the one that we confess to. And whenever we pray, that's what we need to do. That will come up again, but prayers of confession. How much time could you spend just in asking God to forgive you of your weaknesses and confessing them to God, asking him to strengthen you with regard to that? Then thanksgiving. And if I remember right, we closed dealing with thanksgiving, things for which we should be thankful. Prayer itself is something that we should be thankful for. It is just amazing that we serve such a great God and that he's so mindful of us. You remember in Psalms 8 that's one of the things that just caused David to marvel, that God in all his greatness even considers us. And when you stop and think about who we are and our limitations and then who God is and all of his greatness and grandeur, that he spends so much time thinking about us, caring about us, and he's willing to listen to us when we approach him in prayer, that's just really an amazing thing. And we ought to thank God for that. It shouldn't be something we take for granted. Thank God that he listens to you. Even Jesus in John chapter 11, thank God that he heard his prayers. We should pray for or be thankful for forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sins. That is something that is, again, we could easily take it for granted. Look at Romans chapter 6 just for a second. And Romans, the 6th chapter, chapter 4, I'm sorry. Romans, the 4th chapter is what I want. And here, Paul, he is dealing, of course, with a specific thing, making a contrast between faith and works. As you know, should know, that the works under consideration have to do with works of the law, which really have to do with perfect living. The only way you could be saved without Jesus is to live your life sinlessly. Once you sin one time, now you have to rely on grace. You have to rely on mercy. But Paul is dealing a little bit with that. But look down at verse 6. He says, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. That is, apart from perfection. This is not talking about works of obedience. You're not going to be justified apart from obedience. But it's talking about works of the law, which again point to sinless living. Notice he uses the word blessing. Just as David speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Guess what? We all fall in that category. Is there any sinless people here this morning? No, not a one. Those of us who have reached the age of accountability, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, we've been justified. We've had righteousness imputed unto us. We've been declared not guilty in heaven's court. And David describes that as a blessing. He says in verse 8, blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count sin. Even though you're a sinner, even though you have sinned, we shouldn't be active sinners living in sin, but we have all sinned. And yet our sins have been forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count sin. And all of that is true because we have been forgiven. All of us who are in a relationship with God this morning, we're in this relationship, we have fellowship with Him because we have been forgiven. Now, how often do you really thank God for that? Or do you just take it for granted? We all ought to be thankful every day of our lives that we have what we have. And along those same lines, our calling of God, Colossians 3 and at verse 15. That if you are a member of the Lord's church, do you know, really, have you ever stopped to think about the odds against you being members of the Lord's church? You just stop and think of all of the false religions that are out there, of all of the error that's out there. That you are a member of the Lord's church is a wonderful blessing. And it could have easily gone a different direction. Everybody has a different story with regard to their conversion. Some of you were, of course, born into a family where your Christian, your parents were Christians. That gave you a great benefit because they taught you, and so you were fortunate that way. Other people didn't have that. But even if you had that situation, you're blessed that your parents were Christians so that they could teach you the truth. But you just stop and think about how many people in the world. No, I'm not thinking of a specific number, obviously. But how many people in the world are Christians? Jesus said the way is what? It's narrow. Why? Because most people on this earth, what is this? Is it 7 billion people on the earth? 9 billion, something like that, whatever the number is. How many of them are Christians? Just a small number. And you're one of them. And do you ever thank God for that? Perhaps if you were born, I don't know if this would be true or not. It all just depends. But if you were born in a different place or a different circumstance, maybe you wouldn't be a Christian. If someone didn't happen to come along at the right time and teach you the gospel, maybe you wouldn't be a Christian. There's a lot of the providence of God that plays a part in all of our conversion. But what if it was a little bit differently? You realize that sometimes in some lives, just one decision that you made differently may have taken you down a different path and you wouldn't be a Christian. And that doesn't not say you would never have become a Christian if, you know, you maybe something else would have brought you to Christ, your own personal stuff, whatever it is. I'm just trying to get you to see how blessed you are just to be a part of the church in a world where the great majority of people are not. You're blessed, and you ought to thank God for your calling. We ought to thank God for fellow saints. That's certainly worthy of thanking God for one another and how much we help each other in the faith and how blessed we are here at Brown Street to have so many members who can help us and encourage us and provoke us to love and good works and help us when we're struggling and pray for us and all those kind of things. So we're blessed. The goodness of God. I like that one. I've often emphasize that, I mean, that alone is amazing. In that particular song, again, we're told to thank God for His goodness. And when you stop and consider who God is, the supreme being who has all power and can do all things, if you would, what do you think our situation would be like if God wasn't good? And God is completely good. What if God had a little sliver of evil in Him? In all of His power and all of His greatness? You know, I'm glad God, just using figurative language, but I'm glad God never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, aren't you? What if God had a little evil and once in a while it surfaced? We'd all be in trouble. But He is a good God. And the psalmist said, thank God for His goodness. He's good every day. He's good all the time. And He's completely good. That's reason in itself to be thankful and to thank Him. And so all of these things, and of course, Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we could just stop and think about all these kind of things that we should be thankful for. The Word of God, the love of God, family, health, local church, job, life, country, trials, house. You know, we don't have a screen big enough to list all of the things that we could be thankful for. And so now, can you go back to what I was saying earlier? Can you imagine if you really went home sometime this afternoon, you decided, I'm going to spend a good amount of time in prayer. I'm going to do nothing but thank God for everything I could possibly think of. How long do you think you spend in prayer? Probably a long time. Because the list is almost endless of all the things for which we ought to be thankful. You know, one of the things, Romans chapter 1, we'll not read it now, but one of the things that brought out the wrath of God so much upon the Gentiles was the fact that they weren't thankful. One of the things that God doesn't like that moves him to wrath is ingratitude. And we ought to stop and make sure that you are indeed thankful and don't take any of these blessings for granted. Count your many blessings. And when you spend time in prayer with things like this, and just remember how good God is and how good he's been to you, that enhances your spirituality. That draws you closer to God. That helps you grow spiritually. It's no wonder prayer is so powerful, so helpful. Why God wants us so much to pray. The great impact it has on us. If you just prayers of thanksgiving, if you just pray prayers of thanksgiving, that itself would draw you closer to God. You'd have a better relationship with him. So we need to spend time doing that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now listen to this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thank God in all circumstances. Not just when things are going great and wonderfully, but thank God in all circumstances. And for all circumstances, even the times when you are distressed, even the sufferings that you have to endure has helped you to be who you are spiritually. And so thank God for everything. Pray without ceasing. All right, let's look at the next one then, supplication. That's the final one on the list here. And this has to do, the idea of supplication has to do simply with asking, is what supplication means, to make a humble entreaty. And so it's going to God and asking God for things. And there's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes there are some Christians that hesitate in that because they think it's selfish. Well, first of all, supplication isn't all about just asking for yourself. It's just asking and making humble entreaties. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But notice these passages. Matthew 7 at verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. So there are a lot of missed blessings simply because Christians don't ask. Remember in John chapter 14, now contextually this is talking to the apostles, but it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then there's James chapter 4, verse 2. Ye have not because ye ask not. And so, again, the idea of asking, supplication, prayers of supplication. I suppose if you went home this afternoon and said, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do this afternoon. I'm going to just pray prayers of supplication. Let's see how much time I can spend in prayer just asking God, asking him for things. And especially as we continue in this lesson, you'll see there's a whole lot of things to ask God for. And again, God likes this. God wants to be sought. Remember, when we pray, we're showing our dependence upon God. That's why God wants us to pray. He knows what you're going to pray for before you pray it. But he wants us to demonstrate our faith, our dependence upon him. And so he likes it when we seek him. He wants to be sought. John chapter 4, verse 24, talks about that, 23, 24. Look at all of these passages then to talk about. Those passages we looked at don't use the word supplication, but there are many passages that do. Praying at all times and in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So this is a specific kind of prayer that the Bible talks about. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Inspired apostle telling us, let your request be made known to God. And there are other ones. We'll look at one more, 5, 7 of the book of Hebrews. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. So even Jesus prayed prayers of supplication. Even Jesus went before his Father and asked for things. And so we need to understand that this is a type of prayer that we ought to engage in. Supplication, prayers of supplication. Now, there are two kinds of supplication, and we'll take the rest of our time looking at these two kinds. The first one is praying for others, intercessory prayers. And remember I said a moment ago, we don't just pray for ourselves. It's not all about me. That's not the idea behind prayers of supplication and asking and entreating God. Really, it begins with praying for other people. And you could spend a lot of time in that. Let's look at it. Prayers for salvation. When's the last time you prayed for the souls of people around you? I would argue this is a prayer we should pray every day. This is a part of our evangelistic mindset. We want to continue to be evangelistically minded, and we go out in the community on Saturdays. Whoever goes out to do that, that's wonderful. But the greatest tool that we have, that really, you stop and think about it, and I think I've made the point before, going out on Saturday, that's as much for us as it is for others. We're fulfilling the Great Commission, which is a command, and so we're saving our own souls by doing that. And not just going out, but hopefully all of you are carrying the little cards with you everywhere you go, and you're handing them out to people whenever you have the opportunity to do that. Let's not forget about doing that. That's our plan of growth. That's a part of being evangelistically minded. But the greatest tool, or as great a tool as anything, is prayer. Some of you can't go out on Saturdays. God understands that. Some of you work on Saturdays. Some of you may carry the cards with you wherever you go, and some of you will meet more people and have more opportunities to pass those cards out than other people. And that's just life. But one thing every one of us can do, and we can all do it equally, is we can pray to God for the salvation of the souls around us. And that's a worthy, noble prayer. You ought to be doing that. Make sure that you're doing that. That's important to the growth of Brown Street. James said that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Either we believe that or we don't. If we really believe in the power of prayer, every single member here will spend time praying for the numerical growth of Brown Street, for the salvation of souls that we talk to, for opportunities to talk to more people. Pray for the salvation of others. Look at Romans chapter 10. Paul, of course, prayed this kind of prayer. In Romans chapter 10 and at verse 1, he says, Brothers, my heart's desire in prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Now, remember, we looked at this kind of, I think, maybe the very first lesson on prayer and talking about what prayer is and all of that. You notice there, my heart's desire. If I went one by one and asked each one of you, do you want individuals to be saved? I would highly doubt, I would be shocked really, if any one of you would say no. In fact, that would lead into a whole nother conversation if you said no about that. But I believe every one of you present here who are Christians, that every one of you would say, yes, I'm interested in the souls of people. I want people to be saved. I want my friends, my co-workers, my family who aren't Christians. I want people around me to be saved. We all feel that way. That's our heart's desire. It was Paul's. But he went beyond desire and he prayed. Because prayer isn't just desiring something. It's actually doing something. It's making the request. And that's what we need to do. Now, what did he request? In this instance, he wanted his kinsmen, the Jews, of course, to be saved. Now, we understand that we have to pray according to God's will. We don't pray for people to be saved apart from obedience to the gospel of Christ. People have to repent. We understand that. But that's what we should want. We should want more people to hear the gospel. Not only what we're doing, but pray for local congregations all around this country and Christians all over the world, that they have high success in spreading the gospel of Christ to the lost. Again, those of us who are Christians, we're the only ones who can preach the truth to others. And we should want as many people active as possible. And it ought to begin with us individually. It ought to begin with me. And so it can all begin by simply praying. Watch for opportunities. Hand out the cards. Do all of that stuff. Talk to people on your job. Invite them to worship here with us at Brown Street. Invite them to services. Do all of that. But spend time in prayer. We can get the whole congregation. If we get 170-something people all constantly, regularly, even daily praying for the souls of men, you think that would have an impact? There's no doubt about it. Pray for the salvation of others. That's a worthy prayer. That's a prayer of supplication. Prayers for spiritual growth. That's important. Because we all need to grow spiritually, don't we? And I know every single one of you needs spiritual growth. I need spiritual growth. Some of the most dynamic prayers in the New Testament are prayers of Paul. There's a sermon. I can't really remember if I preached it or someone else did. But that just entitled The Prayers of Paul. And that makes a wonderful sermon. Just go through the Bible, the New Testament, and the letters that Paul wrote, and examine each prayer that Paul prayed. And we're going to look at some of them. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. He prayed all kinds of prayers. These prayers basically focus on some kind of spiritual growth, and they're wonderful prayers. We could pray for exactly the same thing that Paul's praying for with regard to these brethren. And first of all, the very fact that Paul prayed so often. You know, if you didn't realize the inspiration of the scriptures and all that, you might conclude, Paul, maybe those passages are exaggerating a little bit. But they're not. Paul spent hours in prayer for brethren, prayers of supplication, for the spiritual growth of those that he had come in contact with, those who he had converted, congregations that had been established by the preaching of the gospel. He spent hours praying for them. He didn't baptize them or have someone baptize them or whatever and then go to the next town and forget all about the people he left behind. They were constantly on his mind. He loved them. He viewed many of them as his children spiritually. And so he spent a lot of time in prayer. Now, should we have any less feeling one for another than Paul had towards those that he was acquainted with in the New Testament? Of course not. Of course not. We ought to be praying for each other exactly the way Paul prayed for other Christians in his day. And they're marvelous prayers. Look at this. In Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 15, he says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him." That points to spiritual growth. He wanted them to understand. Of course, the more we understand, the stronger we are, the better our relationship with God is. And he wants them to be filled with a spirit of wisdom and of the revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope to which he has called you and what are the riches
of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's one of my favorite prayers of Paul, because it teaches us a whole lot. He's praying that these brethren at Ephesus will understand, that their eyes will be open, that they'll realize that they are God's inheritance. You know, it's easy as Christians to forget that, that we're God's inheritance. We think about our inheritance. He talked about that already. Back at verse 11, he says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. We know what that is, heaven. That's important. You ought to think about that. Your mind should be filled with the hope of heaven, of course. But in this particular prayer that we're looking at, this prayer of supplication, he's praying for other Christians to realize they are God's inheritance. God has an inheritance in all of this. God's inheriting something. And what he inherits is you. And that's exciting when you stop and think about it. God wants you as his inheritance. You get heaven. What does God get out of the whole thing? You. That's what God gets out of it. And a lot of people don't understand that. Paul evidently thought that maybe the Christians at Ephesus didn't quite understand that or think about that enough. And so he says, this is what I'm praying for. For knowledge and wisdom, and that your eyes of understanding are enlightened, that you will know that you are his inheritance. That's a good, you think you could pray that prayer for other Christians? That's directly related to our strength spiritually. I've said it many times. Turn over to the book of Philippians. But I've said many times, one of the reasons why there's some weakness among some members is because they just don't realize who and what they are and what they have in Christ. And so praying that people would understand all of that is a good, noble prayer. Philippians chapter 1, at verse, beginning at verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. So here, Paul, he's praying all the time for the brethren in Ephesus. Now we find he's praying all the time for the brethren at Philippi. He spent a lot of time in prayer, didn't he? Now watch. What's he praying for? Jump down to verse 9. He says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all thanksgiving. You stop and think about that. This was his favorite congregation, basically. Guess we could put it like that. He demonstrated more closeness to the church at Philippi than any other local church. He used more endearing terms towards them than he did any other church. And that's perhaps because they were so good to him. They supported him financially, were great support to him when nobody else was supporting him, and so on. But he loved these brethren. And they demonstrated by their action that they were a group of Christians that were full of love. And yet, what does Paul pray for? He prays that your love may abound more and more. Are we a loving congregation? I think that we are. Can we improve in the area of love? Absolutely. And you should be praying for that very thing. We should all be praying that the love here at Brown Street abounds yet more and more, but not just with any kind of love. Notice, he says, so that ye might, we'll go on in verse 9. He says, with knowledge and all discernment. So we need to have a discerning love. Not all love is a discerning love. Sometimes we love one another in the wrong way. When we tolerate sin and that sort of thing, that's not a good love. We need a discerning love. So that you may approve with what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's what Paul, that's a wonderful prayer. Praying that these Christians who he's close to, and he knows that they're good, but still he said, I'm praying that you'll be full of righteousness, that you'll grow in love, that you'll have the proper kind of love. Prayers of supplication. How much time can you spend praying these kind of prayers for the rest of your brethren here at Brown Street and brethren that you know even in other places. Look at Colossians chapter 1 before the bell rings. Here's another one, another great prayer that Paul prays. Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 9 he says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased." How many times have he used that word "ceased" here in these prayers? I mean, he's praying. So what do we have? He's praying. He doesn't cease to pray for the brethren in Ephesus. He doesn't cease to pray for the brethren at Philippi. Now we learn he doesn't cease to pray for the brethren at Colossae. He's a praying man. We haven't ceased to pray for you, asking that ye may be filled with what? With the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The second time he prayed for a different group of people for this same thing. You think having knowledge is important? The stronger we are here at Brown Street, the more knowledgeable we are as individuals, the stronger we'll be collectively. You ought to pray that prayer. Sometime in the next day or so, you make sure you pray specifically for Brown Street, that we're filled with knowledge and wisdom. We pray for the elders for that. But pray for everybody here at Brown Street, for every saint here, that we're all filled with wisdom and knowledge. That's a good prayer. He says, verse 10, "so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." It's a prayer of supplication. These are just biblical examples of prayers of supplication for spiritual growth. We all need it. We need to pray for that. Now do you think you can go home and spend an hour in prayers of supplication? We haven't even looked at all the things that we could pray for. Just two things. You can go home and just pray for the salvation of other people and pray for spiritual growth. You get up tomorrow morning before you go to work or whatever and just pray these two kind of prayers. See how much time you can spend in prayer. That's just supplication. But you begin your prayer, as you always should, with adoration, giving God as much praise as you possibly can. And while you're at it, confess your shortcomings. And don't forget to be thankful. And how much time do you think you'll spend in prayer? And when you really take these things to heart, you'll be focused. It will be a passionate prayer. Because how can it not be when you're thinking of all the blessings God has given you? You're asking him for forgiveness or strength in certain areas. That would be a focused, passionate prayer. And again, these are just two things. The bell's about to ring. We'll cover some of these other things. I'll just put them up there for now. But praying for our rulers, we'll talk about that next week. You think today we need to pray for the rulers of this country and rulers all over the world? Of course we do. Prayers for your enemies. Prayers of supplication, even for your enemies. Pray, of course, prayers for the sick. You know, sometimes our prayers of supplication, they're only one kind. We pray for the sick, and that's it. No. We need to do a lot more praying than that. So we'll talk about those next three on next week and then look at the other kind of prayers of supplication. Appreciate your attention.